Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the By Yahweh's Design Conference Call for the 17th day of May, year 2020. I am Commander Dan, your host and chairman for this meeting of the House of Jacob Israel. The agenda for today's call is current events with Dan from Georgia, and Dan will be with us here in just a sec. And we dedicate this call to our Heavenly Father Yahweh, who is the Great I Am. We also dedicate this call to his holy remnant, who are the believing sons and daughters of Jacob, who was later named Israel. Today, these people are known as the Caucasian or the true Israelite peoples of the world. Hallelujah, which means all praise Yahweh in ancient or Paleo Hebrew. To my Welsh kinsmen across the ocean, Shumai, and welcome to the program. Cymru am byth. Still working on the pronunciation, guys, so cut me some slack. Do want to remind you that we do take calls. If you do contact us either by phone or on the computers, please be careful of your language. And also don't walk on each other, as two or more people talking makes it unintelligible for all of us. The website is PastorDan.net, and that's all together. There are no spaces or special characters, just plain old PastorDan.net. Lots and lots of links there for education as far as your scriptural knowledge, education about health, firearms and ammunition, history, all kinds of stuff, political stuff, the Daily Mail page. Of course, I update usually every day as far as any kind of material that might be of interest to you. And it's not all political. So please check it from time to time. There'll be things about good books or quotes or health-related material, prepper-type material. So it's not just about the garbage that we see day in and day out. So PastorDan.net, do check it out from time to time. I want to thank Henry and his dear wife up there in Connecticut. I just got an envelope from him yesterday. And thanks a lot, Henry. Sure do appreciate it. Let's see. Okay, let me bring Dan in here. And bear with me, Dan. Sometimes the software is a little on the slow side. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir. Can you hear me?
Oh, yeah. You're coming in loud and clear.
Good.
How are you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Oh, as well as can be expected. But I'm going to tell you something. Last night, I thought I was going to have a heart attack. It was late at night, and I saw that Brian at High Impact Vlogs had just put out a video with Dirtbag Dershowitz, Alan Dershowitz, the so-called constitutional lawyer. Anybody that knows anything about the history of Dirtbag Dershowitz knows that, A, he's not a legitimate lawyer, and B, he sure as hell is not pro-constitution. So he's a typical lying Jew. But anyway, he did an interview. Brian played part of an interview where he was being interviewed by Jason Goodman, who I believe is Jewish as well. And even Jason Goodman was taken back with some of the statements by this rat-faced Jew. But he basically was telling the audience that they have no constitutional rights when it comes to health issues. In other words, if the government comes to your door and wants a test, you have to give it to them. If they want to stick you with a vaccine, you have to do it. And if they want you to wear a mask and social distance, you have to do it. So last night he took the mask off. If anybody has any shred of doubt that Dirtbag Dershowitz is a piece of shit and a traitor to this country, that took it completely out of any arguing last night. And also it outs the QAnon as total bullshit, because they were telling us Dirtbag Dershowitz was a patriot. That's one of the things that was a red flag to me when they told us that he was listed as a patriot. So as far as I'm concerned, that totally debunks and disqualifies QAnon for being a source of truth, even though it's the old saying, the devil will let you tell an ocean of truth if you let him float a lie on the top. So there are truths being put out by Q, but when they put things like Dershowitz, Trust the Plan, Sessions is our friend, etc. I'm sorry, Dan, I can't go there. What do you think?
I agree. Well, you know, you have to, when you listen to anyone, especially in the media and like this QAnon, you have to be willing to accept that they're going to mix lies and truth together. You know, what's the old saying? I think you've said it many times. The devil will float 99 lies out there just to get, I mean, 99 truths out there just to get one lie in. So you have to always be careful of, you know, the mixing of the truth and the lies. And some people may do it unintentionally because they're just ignorant. But then you've got deceitful people out there who will, you know, mix those lies in with many truths just to mislead people, you know, deliberately mislead people. And I don't know, Dan, have you heard about these contact tracers?
Yes.
Yeah, I don't know. You know, they're starting to deploy these contact tracers with all this this where they go to people's homes and
You actually know where they have started that?
I think they've started it here in Georgia.
Now, I'm shocked because Georgia up to now has been pretty good about debunking, or not debunking, but exposing that this whole pandemic thing is a hoax.
Well, this is what I've heard. I don't know if it's true or not. I can't be 100% certain, but you know, the goal is to get all these contact tracers, you know, to go to people's homes and test
right.
you, get you to give blood to see if you've got this coronavirus, and then they can forcibly remove you from your home.
Right. And we all know that anybody they want to test positive will be a positive because the test itself is bullshit.
Well, they're testing for the antibodies, correct? And the antibody means if
you produce antibody,
then you are, that's a good thing. You fought it off. Your body is fighting it off, correct?
Well, from what experts I've watched, they're testing for a portion of the virus, a tiny little smidgen, which, like they said, it'll come back 80% failures as to being legitimate. So it's bogus. The whole testing thing is bogus. Everything that they've done with this thing is bogus.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, what it's telling us, and again, maybe this is the father at work here, because he said, I'm going to separate the wheat and the tares, okay? So loudmouth, rat-faced Jews like Alan Dershowitz, there is no mistaking the fact that he's the enemy of Christ and the enemy of all mankind. I mean, that is completely off the table now, as of that interview yesterday, completely off the table. His whole history has been that, but last night, that interview with Goodman, that laid bare his complete satanic side. And anybody that follows suit with him, Father's making it very easy for us to identify the wheat and the tares. Anybody who promotes the mainstream churches, anybody who promotes that Jews are God's chosen people, anybody who promotes the fact that that litter box nation called It's a Lie is the Israel of the Bible, run from them. You're talking to Satan himself. Anybody like Dirtbag Dershowitz that tries to say that our Constitution doesn't protect our rights is a traitor and a terror. He's a goat, and he should be run away from as quickly as possible. Any of these misfits. Fauci, obviously, a satanic piece of shit. Birx, a satanic piece of shit. Any of these people that are espousing any of these items, they now have identified themselves for us, haven't they?
Yes, sir. They have. And, you know, I don't understand with this this whole COVID-19 scam. It's been really sloppy. I mean, I've pretty much caught on from day one. Didn't
right.
you?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. The first day it came out, I was telling people, my brother, for instance, we were up in Virginia fixing his house up, and I don't watch TV, but he had Fox News on air, and I'm sitting in a chair, and it was hard for me not to vomit. And they're sitting there talking about this. I just looked at him and I said, tell me you're not buying this bullshit. And, you know, he just looked at me and he goes, you don't believe this? He goes, but you don't believe anybody. And I said, no, I don't believe liars. I do believe somebody. But I said, as far as Fox News or any other mainstream channel, I said, of course not. I said, because they lie continually. And this bullshit thing about a coronavirus is just another bullshit story. I said, look it up. I said, I have friends who are doctors and nurses, okay? I don't go to people like Fox News. I go to people that actually live and breathe medicine, who spent their entire career in medicine. And they're the ones telling me that coronavirus is just another name for a flu bug. Okay, they told me that from day one. Mm-hmm. So, you know, like you said, for anybody that had even a smidgen of truth in their body and discernment, you could tell they were lying to us from day one. It's a test to see who are the sheep and who are the, the cattle. You know, the Jews think of all of us as a herd of cattle. They're trying to figure out which of the cows will do as they're told and where are the cows that still have some testosterone left in their veins. At least that's the way it appears to me.
Yeah, I think it's a test, too, to see who's paying attention, you know. Not so, because many of our people, I think they're good people. They mean well, but they just don't, they're just not paying attention.
Well, I think we're getting late in the game, okay? And again, there is no end of the world. It's the end of the age. So anybody that's teaching that, run from them, please. If they don't know who the Jews really are, as far as the Edom, Esau of the Bible, which are the enemies of the children of Jacob, but also the enemies of all mankind, just as Christ said, he laid all the innocent blood shed on the earth at the feet of these Edomite Jews. Okay, that's the words of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, anybody espousing some of these things that we have laid to rest, especially as far as this pandemic, which is a lie, vaccines are safe, that's a lie. Vaccines won't hurt you, that's a lie. They're going to try to tag us. Don't worry about it, it's good, it's for your own good, that's a lie. The government is all powerful. We have no choice in the matter. That's a lie. That these, especially these unelected bureaucrats, I think personally every one of them should be rounded up and put on trial. I think they should be locked up until we get all the evidence in that proves that they did not commit a crime, because virtually all of them are criminals. So take every one of these bastards, put them in jail, put a special team together, gather up the evidence, get all the testimony of what these assholes have done, and then when they're found guilty of a capital crime, take them out into the courtyard and shoot them. If they've only committed a monetary crime, then they have to go to work and pay back we the people for their crimes. And that clean house, these elected ones ought to be just fired, and they should also be put on trial, because many of them are criminals. That's what we need to do. Have you seen anything about the Fed coming under control of Treasury? I got a note from somebody.
In fact, I got an email about that from somebody sent that to me. That I haven't really looked into it very much. What do you know about it?
Well, the guy that put the video out is usually pretty sharp. I don't know that much about him at the moment, but the few times I've watched his stuff, he seems to know what he's talking about. I do remember some headlines in some of the alternative media that said something to that effect. However, I believe that was back in March or April. And so here we are over halfway through May, and I haven't seen a whole lot of a difference, okay? Now, they're saying that the Fed is now back under Treasury, which is a branch of the government instead of the private bankers. And he was claiming that this takes power away from the Rothschilds, especially since the U.S. is the billy club to beat up other countries to get them to submit. So I did see alternative sources saying that the Fed was now under Treasury, but I haven't seen any evidence of it making a difference yet. That's the problem. Mm-hmm. Supposedly this Larry Fink, who is extremely rich and powerful, I guess he is the owner of BlackRock, which is a multi-trillion dollar company, and he's a good friend of Trump. But this all is based on the premise that Trump's a good guy. I'm still not seeing a hell of a lot of evidence of that at the moment. So it's really confusing to me. If they put it under Treasury, but Treasury's still in the control of Rothschild agents, how does that make anything better? You're more trained in economic issues, so explain that to me. If the Rothschilds run Trump, and Treasury's run by Trumpites, and so how does the Fed coming under Treasury improve the things?
I don't think it improves anything. I think the main goal should be to abolish the Fed altogether. You know, they're not authorized in the Constitution. Where is a private organization given the authority to create our money? The Treasury actually prints the money, and then the Fed determines how much is going to be, you know, loaned out or whatever. But we don't even need a Federal Reserve, bottom line. We just don't even need them.
Right, exactly. The government should be issuing debt-free money.
Right. Just as Lincoln did after the war. It was one of the reasons he was assassinated, was it not?
Exactly, and the same thing goes for John F. Kennedy.
That's right.
John F. Kennedy had just issued, I believe the figure was $60 million of greenbacks, and the very first thing, within hours of John F. Kennedy being shot, his body was still warm, and Lyndon Baines Johnson, another rat-faced Jew, recalled every single dollar and put us back under the thumb of the fiat currency banking system run by Jews.
Mm-hmm. Isn't it funny how every road leads to a Jew?
Amen. And you know what? I've been seeing comments on many of the channels. The people are waking up. I'm going to tell you, a couple years ago, you would not have seen comments like this. And not only are the comments themselves pointing out the Zionist fiat currency system and who's running it, but the number of comments has gone up significantly. And I keep track of the percentage of thumbs up to thumbs down and responses on channels. That has also gone up dramatically. It used to be if you could get 9 out of 10 positives, you were doing pretty damn good. So that's like 90% positive. That was pretty good. Now, some of these truth tellers are getting 100 positives to every single down. That's a tenfold increase there.
Wow.
So that's a quantum leap, okay? And there's a few channels that are numbering 300 to 400 thumbs up to one thumbs down. And that's even with the Jews controlling the whole scheme, okay? It may be even higher than that.
Well, we've been preaching for years about these Jews, right? I mean, they murdered Christ. They, you know, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 14 and 15. They attempted to murder him back in John 7, 1. And they're the children of the devil, John 8, 44. Christ came right out and said, you are, you know, proved that they're children of the devil, straight from Satan himself.
Amen. Amen. Hey, Dan, I was just thinking about it. How long has it been since you've been on the show? It's been quite a while, hasn't it?
It's been a long time, a couple of years.
Yeah, I was going to say, we got a lot of new listeners. Do you want to take just a couple minutes to kind of let the new folks know a little bit about yourself, or would you rather not?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I'm a pretty boring person. There's nothing real exciting about me. I work in accounting, and I've been in accounting for many years. And I'm from Georgia, obviously. I came into this truth, the truth of the Bible, in around 2003. And the first thing that led me to it was I was on the internet and I came across a hyperlink that said, what was the real sin in the Garden of Eden? And I just clicked on it for the heck of it because I knew nothing about the Bible at the time. And that's what, you know, I got an explanation of the whole thing. And that's when I got really interested in it. And I came across your show in, I think it was 2006. And I've been listening, you know, to you, and I listened to you for many years, have been listening to you for many years. And I think I got on your show in, I think it may have been around 2007 or 8 for the first time, back when you were with, what was that? I can't remember who you were with at that time, what platform you were using.
Oh, my God. Yeah, well, there was Heritage Broadcasting, Reality Radio, Live 365.
That's it, Live 365. It was the first time I got on your show as a guest. And yeah, way back. And I've been just listening to you ever since. I've done a little studying with Shepherd's Chapel on, now they don't go into nearly the amount of depth that you do, because obviously he's on mainstream TV, so they can't come out and explain who these Jews are. They call them Kenites, which just means sons of Cain, which is the same thing. But, you know, you go into much more detail and depth, and that's a good thing. So, yeah, that's just all there is to know about me. I got into, like I said, back in about 2003 is when I first got into this message. And it's been very eye-opening. I'm very thankful to the Father for leading me to all this, because it makes you feel good to know what the Bible actually says.
That's why I've shortened, because the Jews have tried to besmirch the term Christian identity. So I've shortened it to just plain identity, because, first of all, I don't want to be associated with the mainstream people at all, because they're Zio Christians, and their heads are so far up their asses, they don't know if it's night or day. Mm-hmm. So I don't want to be associated with them, so we've shortened it to just plain identity, because this message identifies who's who in the zoo. And once you know that little piece of truth, the whole world changes, doesn't it?
It sure does. I mean, it opens the Bible up for you. You know, when you know who's the good guys and who's the bad guys, it just opens the whole story of the various books of the Bible up, and it makes total sense. Whereas if you went to a mainstream church where you may get, what, two or three verses if you're lucky on a good day, they might take two or three verses totally out of context. And you walk away thinking, well, is that what the Bible is all about? No, there's got to be more to it than that. And the few times that I did go to churches back before 2003, that was always the feeling I got. You know, I just didn't learn anything. And it wasn't until I came across this message that I really learned. And it ties into what's going on in the world, you know. The Bible gives you the big picture. It doesn't give you the small details, but it gives you the big picture of what's going on. And your show has been really, really, really good. You are spot on with these current events.
Well, I believe it's becoming crystal clear where we're at on the timeline. Henry from Connecticut just said that your testimony is almost identical to his. So, and it is pretty common with a lot of the folks that I've talked to. I'd say for the past couple of years, especially, the wake up seems to be like gigantic swing, especially now in the last couple months. People coming out of the woodwork now, because Yahweh's got their attention. He's used the criminal element that is behind what's going on. He's used these events to shake, rattle, and roll his people, and they're starting to actually come out of their slumber, which has been abysmal, just how asleep the white man has been. And just from the comments that I'm reading, especially about this contact tracer and people like Dirtbag Dershowitz claiming that they have a right to inject us, I've read an awful lot of comments where people are saying that this will be the end. And these, some of these people are police officers and military guys. If they try to do what they're talking about doing to my family, it's over for them or for me, but somebody's going down. And personally, I kind of agree with that. If this is how Father wants to end my journey, well, that's okay with me, because the sons of bitches aren't coming into my home, and I'll be damned if they're going to stick that poison in my body. I've spent way too much time and money cleaning my body up from the poisons of my youth because the military forced vaccinations. And when I was a child, I had a couple, not like what they have now, but I've had a couple. And I got all that stuff out of my body by detoxification and cleaning up my act so that my health is like, I wouldn't say it's perfect, but it's pretty damn close. And, you know, and then they think they have a right to come in here and stick me because you got a bunch of pansies running around, running scared because some Jew gets on TV and says, oh, there's a bug to be worried about. Do you notice how all these Jews operate with the same MO, Dan? And that is to create fear. And
fear.
99% of the time, it's based on complete lies. Do you ever notice that?
Yeah, all the time. Hey, Dan, I got a question about these vaccines. You know, what would you say to someone who's, and I say this because of a family member has said it to me. They said, well, you know, I've had vaccines. Nothing bad happened to me. How would you come back to that person? Because people can't see the long-term, the possible long-term side effects to anything. They have to have it. It has to be immediate, you know. So how would you come back? What would you say to someone who has given you that response?
Well, I've had a few people who tried that because I got a lot of family that are in the medical fields. And the first thing I ask them, you actually had no effect? Because I would say the vast majority of people in general that I talk to have had very negative effects. And I would almost say 100% of the people I've talked to personally have told me that when they got vaccinated, they got sick. Well, that's a negative side effect to me. Mm-hmm. So the first thing I ask them is, well, if this is such a good thing, then why the hell did you get sick? Why didn't you just get the illness yourself and create your antibodies that way? Why did you go pay for a damn vaccine to do what nature would have done for free? Okay, so that's the first thing I ask. So if they're one of the rare ones who actually didn't get harmed in any way, I would simply say, well, you're one of the lucky ones. And if you really want to know why, I can tell you all kinds of nurses and doctors that I know personally who know the history of how they make vaccines, and all of them have told me they would never put that in their own body. And here's another case in point, okay? Everybody assumes they know something when they really don't. Everybody assumes nursing homes are a good thing, okay? Until you talk to somebody that's actually worked in them, like my daughter, who's a nurse. And the very first thing after she started working at a nursing home, you know what she told me? I will never allow myself to be put in one of those. Nor will I ever put a family member in one of these facilities. Okay? Now, she's not the only one to tell me that, but that's the closest relation that I have that has experience. A trained nurse who graduated with a very high score, she's no dummy, okay? And she quit a hospital for the same reason. Now, she went to work for one of the, again, prestigious, but only prestigious in the Jewish media, hospitals on the East Coast, a research hospital, okay? So that's supposed to be like top shelf, right? She went to work in that for less than a year, and her comment about that was, the level of care in this hospital is worse than the small hospital at the community level back where I live. That's her opinion. She goes, I was constantly reminded that people are basically cattle. They're to be shuffled through here to make the most money and keep the flow going. She goes, actually caring for the patients, I was warned I'm spending too much time concerned with the patient's quality of health care and quality of life, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So people say, well, Dan, you don't know what you're talking about because you're not a doctor. Well, yeah, but I know doctors. I'm talking about personal friends or relations who are doctors or nurses. I'm not getting this secondhand. I'm getting it straight from the horse's mouth. Just like one of my relatives, very close relatives, has been questioning the technicians that are installing all this new equipment while everybody's, quote, locked down. And they freely admit that they're installing the new 5G equipment. And not all of them, but there's, I would say, probably 30 to 40% of them will admit that it's a dangerous technology. So that's not hearsay. That's not, guessing or, well, you don't know what you're talking about. It's got to be good for us because I can download my pornographic movies much faster with 5G. So it's got to be a good thing. You know, people assume they know something and they're actually quite ignorant. At least that's been my experience, Dan.
Well, they're repeating what they hear on television most of the time, you know. And this, all this COVID-19 scam, there's multiple agendas here. Number one is they want mandatory vaccinations. You know, that'll be your ticket to getting passports, being able to travel, you know, to be able to provide proof that you've gotten this vaccine. And they won't even have to make it mandatory, I don't think. They'll just say, well, you know, if you can't prove that you've gotten this vaccine, then you can't travel, you know, in the name of quote-unquote safety. Number two, this whole thing is about eliminating the middle class and small businesses. We talked about that on your other show. And number three, they want to go to a cashless society. Because, you know, this paper money we use, it's got germs all on it. You know, we don't want to get sick. So, you know, this will be a good excuse to push for the cashless society. And then number four is they want to push this 5G because that's going to work in conjunction with the vaccine that they give you to track you. And at least that's how I see it.
You're 100% right. I want to read a couple of the comments that have been sent in here. Henry up in Connecticut, he's got one here as soon as I can get the damn thing to stop scrolling. My daughter, a nurse, has quit working for the hospital because of this crap. And then Boone says here, I haven't taken a vaccine in 40 years, and my mom was killed in a nursing home, and my dingbat sister was power of attorney, and I fought to free her and apparently lost the battle. I know what that feels like. And Levi says, why did Congress pass a law preventing us from suing the vaccine companies? Because they're harmless? Not only that, but why did the government set up a slush fund with billions, and that's with a B, billions of dollars to pay out to lost lawsuits by people who have been harmed by vaccines, and they sued. So, you know, let's see here. Boone says, what could I know? Mom died of candida. She rotted to death. Oh, my God. I've lost loved ones in the medical mafia facilities. I'm going to tell you something. I got to be careful because I get emotional because I've lost two of the most important women in my life, my mother and my sister, to almost identical circumstances. And my anger and my fight to bring down this medical mafia has never been more intense. My hatred of what they're doing to people almost equals my hatred of what the Jews are doing to the whole world, because the Jews have contaminated not only medicine, they've contaminated education, entertainment, news, government, finance, everything they touch, they contaminate. They're like a poison. They're like a parasite. You want to talk about a vaccine, or not a vaccine, but a virus that's harming mankind, it's the Jew. Okay, and just as Christ told us, and Christ warned us, and that's why they murdered Christ. Okay, the Anointed One was murdered by them because he was very outspoken about the fact of who they were. Okay, now the mainstream churches, and again, if you go to a church and they're telling you Jews are the living God's chosen people, I got a quote for you. I'll look it up here, Dan, when you're talking. But it's a quote from a Jew that actually says that most Jews won't admit it, but our God is Lucifer and we are his chosen people. So when people say the Jews are chosen people, yeah, they're chosen, all right, for two things. One, they do the work of Lucifer, the great adversary. And Obadiah tells us they're chosen for a fiery extermination at some point. So that's the only two things they're actually chosen for. They're certainly not our friends, and they're not going to do the world any good.
No, all roads lead to the Jew. Just as Henry just said, it's always the Jew. And the person who made that comment was Henry Wallace Rosenthal. He was an aide to Senator Jacob Javits.
Yeah, Jacob Javits was the Jew back when I was a boy that led the Jewish cabal to write the legislation that destroyed our immigration policies. Up until the mid-1960s, and Frosty Wooldridge on his website, Numbers USA, he's got all the documentations to prove what I'm about to tell you. And I've interviewed him here on By Yahweh's Design many times. But Frosty said that up until Jacob Javits the Jew and his little team of Jews in Washington destroyed our immigration policy, we had a very common sense immigration policy where we only let 187,000 people in. And I asked him in the interview, I said, well, that's kind of odd. I said, why such a weird number? Why 187,000? He said, because that's how many people left. Okay, because people don't think about this. Some people do leave this nation. And so they kept track of that. And however many people left the United States the year before, then that's how many they let in. In other words, immigration was never supposed to change the baseline population level. It was supposed to grow very slowly and naturally so that the infrastructure could grow with it. It wasn't until these nefarious rat-faced Jews like Jacob Javits came into the scene that our common sense biblically based policies were turned upside down and the floodgates to let all the riffraff in and totally undermine our infrastructure happened. So nothing new under the sun, right?
That's right. And Dan, speaking of these people, our own people who are still in this slumber, do you believe, well, according to Scripture, that Yahweh has put a spirit of slumber upon some of our people? Romans 11:8, Deuteronomy 29:4 states this. What do you think of that? Do you believe that maybe just some of our people aren't supposed to get it?
I believe it's true. When he says, I will send a strong delusion on them because they no longer love the truth. I mean, let's face it, Dan, amongst our own people, how many white people, and I'm talking about pure white, how many pure white people do you know that even give a shit about the truth anymore? You know, people in general don't, but I'm talking about our family here, our DNA family, our nation, our race. How many of them actually care about the truth? Normally, they run. If you said, hey, I've got the truth about this pandemic, it's a lie and a hoax, they usually run from you. They don't want to hear. They don't want anything to upset their apple cart. You know, they are so obsessed with maintaining their comfort zone that they actually get angry if you try to educate them about what's really going on. They actually get upset and angry about it. Have you noticed that?
Yes. I had several people get angry with me over it. And I just think maybe it's part of it would have to be because they don't have a love of the truth, because we're told that in Thessalonians, but I don't know. I guess part of me is just hopeful that maybe Yahweh has blinded them for whatever reason, you know, maybe for something other than that. You know, I guess it's just wishful thinking on my part, because I hate to see, there's some people that I hate to see not care about the truth. I would hate to think that they're that, just don't care, you know.
Well, here's the attributes of a true Israelite, okay? And I'll give Dr. Judy Nipps a credit for this. She came up with it at one of the gatherings many, many, many years ago that I attended. She said the attributes of a true Israelite is that they are a loving, caring, sharing people. And often to a fault. Okay, we don't know when to turn it off, because we should turn it off sometimes. So our nature is loving, caring, and sharing. And you're showing that side of your makeup right now, in that you care, and all of us care. I've said it on this show many times. I wish the world would repent so nobody would have to be punished. The whole world. I wish the whole earth would repent of what they're doing to mankind and nature, so that nobody had to be punished. However, the fact of the matter is that many of these people are psychopaths. Okay, that's a modern term for what we've said on this program many times. They don't possess a conscience. They don't have a Holy Spirit. Okay, and we have to come to grips with that, okay? Because the war is on right now. It's in your face. They're making it very clear on what side of the fence each of us is on, all right? Just as Yahweh said when he walked this earth and was known as Yahshua HaMashiach, if you're not for me, you're against me. And also in the book of Luke in chapter 19, where he said, bring those that would not that I rule over them before me and slay them. Okay, we have not seen that come to pass yet. That's a future prediction. So at some point, his anointed is going to say, bring those that would not that Yahweh God rule over them before me and slay them. Now, if you men out there don't have a stomach for that, you might want to trade in your man card and go ahead and get the vaccine and the tracing stuff and just go ahead over to the dark side. Because Yahweh said, if you don't love me more than life itself or anything on this earth, you don't deserve me. It's as simple as that. And so the order is going to come down at some point that says, bring those that would not that Yahweh God rule over them before me and slay them. That's right there in the book of Luke.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of funny. When have you ever been into a whitewashed sepulcher called a church and heard a sermon about that?
Never.
No, I haven't either. Okay. Never. I used to attend church regularly. I've been to all kinds of mainstream churches over the years, and I have never heard a sermon about that verse, Luke chapter 19, verse 27. And it's very, very clear what he's saying, and it makes perfect sense when you read like Psalm 149. It's the honor of the saints to bring upon the heathen the judgment that's written. What the hell do people think that means? Okay? It's our honor, the saints, that's us, the called out ones, by the way. That's what saints mean. It has nothing to do with a church attendance, okay?
Mm-hmm.
There's people that go to church and think they're Christian. I got news for you. You can sit in a garage all day long and you're still not a car, okay? So it doesn't mean a damn thing that you sit in a church. I'll guarantee you that 95% of the people filing in and out of that church are not true believers, at least 95%.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, yeah, they're going through the motions. Their lips pay me service, something to that effect. Their lips pay service or pay homage to me, but their hearts are far from me.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so they go through the motions. They'll say prayers, they'll sing psalms or hymns and whatnot, But where's their heart? Their heart's chasing after Babylon, just like Lot's wife. Okay, she didn't want to leave Sodom and Gomorrah. She wanted to stay where the shopping malls were, and the Jews with their diamonds and gold bracelets, where the risque bars could half-naked women and men jumping around dancing in front of everybody. That's what Lot's wife wanted. She didn't want to leave the high life. Oh, and according to Scripture, she got turned into a pillar of salt. As far as I know, that's just another way of saying you die, because when you die, your body rots away, but the minerals of your body are left behind. So basically a pile of salt. She was destroyed.
And, you know, speaking of Yahweh ruling over us, it really all goes back to, you go back to 1 Samuel chapter 8, where our ancestors didn't want Yahweh to rule over them. They wanted a man king.
Right.
And, you know, we've been stuck with that ever since, and we were warned about it. You know, there was going to be bureaucracy, there was going to be taxes, there was going to be wars, and everything that Yahweh said was going to happen, what he told the prophet Samuel was going to happen, has happened with this man king.
Right, and we have to repent of that. We have to repent of this whole notion that man can rule over man, because we've proven through the centuries that that is a lie, and it can't work, because we can't keep the Jew out, for one thing, all right? If we had Christian white men like the Tsar of Russia and some of the other great monarchs of the past, like Charlemagne and Alfred the Great in England, and different monarchs who lived by the Bible, if we had that, it would be okay. But what the problem is, mankind can't seem to filter out the Jew. These people called Jews. In ancient times, they weren't called Jews. But these Edomites and their nefarious ways, they always seem to be able to use bribery or flattery or outright extortion to worm their way into the monarchies, and then things go to hell. Okay, look at the French Revolution, look at what happened in England under Charles and different things like that. Okay, that's when it goes to hell, because people make the false assumption that a Jew is human. Okay, no, they're an alien race. Now, before everybody gets their panties in a bunch, I'm quoting from a Greek lexicon where the definition of the Greek word eudaios is given, and in that lexicon it says that the Apostle John wrote of the Jews, in the Greek language anyway, he wrote of the Jews as if they sprang from an alien race. So all of you naysayers out there, before you want to jump on Dan, guess what? That's right out of a textbook. That's a 1980s edition of Thayer's Greek lexicon. So I'm just quoting from a lexicon. They came from an alien race. Now, especially in this day and age, as you look at what these rat-faced Jews have been saying, like Dershowitz, don't they have the look? Look at Zuckerberg and tell me he doesn't look like he came off a spaceship from some other world.
They do have a certain look to them, don't they?
They do. Look at Dershowitz. Look at Bloomberg. Look at Fauci. Look at Cuomo. Look at de Blasio. Every one of them is a misfit, okay? They look degenerate. They look sick. They behave like sick people, both mentally and physically. They are from an alien race, okay? For them, that's normal. Being profligate liars. That's normal to them. But the problem is our people, some of our people anyway, haven't figured it out yet. These people are aliens. Aliens. Everything about them is alien. And they're up to no good.
And you made a good point about how they use flattery. And, of course, the number one thing they use is money. And what are we told in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 10 about the love of money being the root of all evil?
Right.
And then that's what they seem to use very well against our people because we're so caught up in this, you know, got to have more toys, got to have a bigger house, got to have a better car, got to keep up with the Joneses. You know, everything revolves around impressing other people with all your material possessions, which you're not going to take with you anyway when you leave this world. None of that stuff's going with you.
The love of money and the things that money buys, other words called materialism, is the root of all evil. Levi Hunter just put in here Psalm 137, verse 9. I forgot about this psalm. I remember reading it years ago, but it's true. It says, happy shall he be that taketh and dasheth thy little ones against the stones. Talking about our enemies here. I want to see what the World English Bible has for that same one. So where do we got here? 137, verse 9. And it says, happy shall he be who takes and dashes your little ones against the rock. So it's very close to the same thing. So you can put that psalm. I'm going to tell people, if you don't want to read the whole Bible, just read Psalms and Proverbs. Okay? You'll get quite an education. Just read Psalms and Proverbs. In fact, there was a Bible I had years ago that was nothing but the New Testament and Psalms and Proverbs. That was the whole Bible. It was a little pocket Bible you could carry around with, but it was just the New Testament writings and Psalms and Proverbs. And I'm going to tell you, 90% of the wisdom you need can be found in those books. And it supports everything we're talking about on this program. Would you agree?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, we got a caller. Let me take Gary here and see what he's got to say. Gary, can you hear me?
Yes, I can. And as you guys were going along and then somebody hit into Psalms 37, what I brought is I wanted to share with Psalms 91. 91:10 says, no evil will befall you, nor will any plague come near your tent.
Right.
So they had these, and then it goes on, and then it talks about pestilence and things of that nature. That's Psalms 91. That's why everybody says read it. You know, that at least once a day, because that's what it talks about. It talks about pestilence all through the whole thing. So they were doing this way back when. They were creating these little diseases. See, everybody goes, oh, it just flies around out there. No, it's not. It gets created by men. Yes, it went into China, but to my understanding, it started here. Then it went over there.
Well, here's where people get sidetracked with all that nonsense, okay? Don't lose sight of the facts, people. We live in a cesspool of germs. We're born into it. And some of the doctors like Zach Bush, he's a young doctor, does an excellent job of explaining it. We were born on this earth that Yahweh created in amongst all kinds of germs and viruses. Viruses are just a byproduct of the body, of the cells of our body anyway. So there's all kinds of viruses and germs all around us day in and day out. And guess what? That's why the immune system was developed, and it works by those germs getting in our body, and our immune system picks them up and creates the antibodies it needs. It's doing it 24 hours a day, all year long. So this whole nonsense that any virus or any of these things that come along, whether man-made or not, it doesn't matter. Your body can defend yourself against it. It's just the way it is. Most of this crap that we're reading about is fear porn by the same people who benefit from us being afraid. Okay, who's what? The Jews in government, the Jews in the pharmaceutical industries, all the same people, because they make money off of fear and they keep you under control by using fear. The point of it is you can't kill germs. They're everywhere. Everywhere. All the time. Isn't it funny that all these so-called experts will tell you that you need vaccines, you need this, you need that, but how many of them ever say, if you cleaned up your body and got your immune system healthy, you wouldn't have to worry about anything? Have you ever heard a mainstream immunologist or so-called expert from the government or from the pharmaceutical side ever say, well, if you just clean up your act and get your immune system healthy, you wouldn't have to worry about anything? Have you ever heard those words out of their mouth?
Never.
Never. That should tell you something right there, okay? It's common sense. Yahweh created the body, just like I'm so happy that I finally had my Welsh kinsman over there send me a copy of the Colbran Bible, because the ancient Celtic Bible called the Colbran, it's very, very clear that circumcision is against the law, Yahweh's law. It makes it crystal clear. In the words of Christ himself, he said, if circumcised penises was what I wanted, they'd come out of the mother's womb that way. Oh, my God. When I read that, I says, that is so commonsensical. I can just see Christ saying that. Hey, dummy, if I wanted them to look like that, I would have created them that way. I didn't. Stop mutilating your children. There is no argument anymore. That laid it to rest. If you haven't figured out it's barbaric and should never be done, shame on you.
And it's the same thing with people, Dan. You know, if he wanted us all to be one shade of brown, he would have made us that way.
Amen. Very good point, Dan. You're exactly right. He created the diversity. You know, that's what's funny. They always say diversity strength, and yet at the rate we're going, there will be no diversity soon. Everybody will be polluted. There will be no pure races left if these guys get their way. So they're hypocrites. And what does it say in the book of Luke? What's one of the signs that you're dealing with Satan's kids? They're hypocrites. It says right there in Luke chapter 12, okay? One of the signs that you're dealing with one of the satanic side is the fact that they're full of hypocrisy. Okay, Dr. Oz gets on the boob tube. He's another rat-faced lying Jew. Dr. Oz gets on there telling everybody they need to stick their kids. But Dr. Oz and his family don't get stuck. They don't take vaccines.
That's the same thing with Bill Gates, isn't it?
Yes, the same thing with another rat-faced Jew. And somebody tried to say he's just a goyim that's being used by the Jews. Take a good look at Bill Gates and tell me he's not a kike. All right? Please, come on. He's not a freaking goyim. That guy's so far from being a goyim, it's like night and day. He's one of them. And so is that transvestite that he's hooked up with. She looks, supposedly his wife, looks more masculine than he does.
Yeah, she does. And you've heard, Dan, about a lot of these elites, like the billionaires of the world, and, you know, because they're basically Jews and Satanists, that they're actually, the couples are reversed. Have you heard anything about that? The men are really women and the women are really men.
Well, Gates and his significant other are two of the best examples because it's so apparent. Gates acts like a frickin' female and looks like an aberration of nature, and his wife looks more like a man and acts more like a man. So they are the perfect example of what you're talking about. Okay, Gates is a tranny from female to male, and Melinda is a male to female. And then, you know, they get their jollies off with this. They get their jollies off with this because they worship the Baphomet, right? Well, what's the Baphomet? Isn't the Baphomet, the statue of the Baphomet, a combination of male and female organs?
Yep, it is.
Exactly. Okay, that's why they want to get rid of transgenderism. They want to make transgenderism legal. That's why they push it in the media. It's also why, like that rat-faced Jew, Ruth Bader Ginsburg, wants to lower the age of consent to where pedophilia will no longer be a crime. Because they are Satan's kids. What the hell more do people have to see? Yahweh says at some point he's going to pour out his spirit and we're going to have an army rise up. I'm praying that we're seeing the beginnings of that right now, because this is so in your face and so obvious, you have to be completely blind not to see it. Would you agree?
Mm-hmm. And the
you
reason
gotta
they
be completely blind.
It's part of their religion, this reversal. You know, they want to do everything the opposite of what Yahweh intended. You know, if Yahweh made them a male, then they're just spitting in his face and say, well, I'm going to be a female. If they made him a, he made one of them a female, then they're going to, you know, going to spit in his face and say, well, I'm going to be a male. So it's all about the opposite.
Exactly. They have to contaminate everything. Okay, let's start with that bastard nation over in Palestine. The actual name of that country is Israeli. It's not Israel. It's Israeli. Now, I read an article years ago. Why did the Jews, who are trying to imitate God's chosen people, why did they pick Israeli and not Israel so that it would fit in more closely? Because Israeli is flaunting at the Christ, because Israeli is the feminine form. And they detest the maleness of our Yahweh God so much that they named their country in the feminine form, Israeli. That's why they're known as Israelis and not Israelites. Okay? Subtle changes and subtle differences, but if you're paying attention, it tells you a lot, doesn't it? Okay? Do they speak Hebrew? No, they speak Yiddish. And what is Yiddish? Primarily ancient German with a few modern words thrown in there. Okay? What does Yid mean in their own tongue? Deceiver. So Yiddish is the language of deceivers. Okay? So they speak ancient German, but they want everybody to believe they're speaking ancient Hebrew, when in actuality, if you want to hear ancient Hebrew, go listen to some people talking and singing songs in Welsh. There's your ancient Hebrew. So, again, Yahweh did not hide all these truths. He just makes you have to have some discernment and do a little digging. It's all out there, folks. Mm-hmm. They created their own alphabet. This block Hebrew that they're using today is an aberration, is a counterfeit to the Paleo Hebrew, which the Paleo Hebrew is very close to the hieroglyphics of ancient Egypt. They're both picturesque languages. Just like the letter A is Aleph in ancient Hebrew, if you turn the letter A on its side, it looks like the head of an ox. Okay? That's what Aleph means. Ox. The first letter of the alphabet. And if you take that letter and turn it a few degrees to the left, it looks like our modern A. But in ancient times, it was on its sides because it looked like the head of an ox. It's that simple, folks. It's right in front of you, okay? But what does their Aleph look like? It looks like something completely out of somebody's ass. I don't have any idea where the hell they came up with it. But again, it's a aberration or a pollution of the original. They always fake the original and demean it in some way. That's what Jews do. Look what they've done in the United States. Has the United States become more moral as the Jews have obtained more power? Does anybody think that?
No, everything about them is a lie. Everything.
Amen.
And that's what Christ told us, didn't he? It's what he told us.
Yeah, he said that. Yeah, exactly. That's why in the book of John, he said, ye are of your father, Satan, or the devil, and the works of your father you do. I mean, how much plainer does it have to be? These people
right
that carry Bibles around with them and claim themselves to be believers and Christians, they must not know how to read anymore. Okay, because
no,
it's right
don't.
There in basic print for you to read, even in the English, which is often mistranslated, but that part they got right. Ye are of your father the devil, and the works of your father you do. Well, take a look at the history of the Jews. Is that not their history?
That's right. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it.
Amen.
His exact words.
So Alan Dershowitz, Dirtbag Dershowitz, when he's in that interview, if you can have your barf bag handy while you're listening to the interview, because it's nauseating. When that little piece of rat-faced Jew is talking to Goodman, and he's spewing his lies out, you're looking at the face of Satan. You're looking at the Antichrist right there. Not the Antichrist, but a Antichrist. right there, Dershowitz, as his mouth and lips are moving, he is telling you lie after lie after lie after lie. It's exactly what they do. Gary, did you have anything you wanted to add?
Yeah, I want to say we're told there are many antichrists. So you're right. 1 John chapter 2, verse 18 and verse 22, and in 2 John chapter 7. So you're exactly right.
Yep. We got Mike wants to join us here. Let me bring Mike into the conversation. Welcome to the program, Mike. It's been a while.
Good morning, gentlemen. Praise Yah. I'm so glad to speak to all of you again.
Good morning.
I got to tell you something. I heard an interview last night. One of our countrymen, even though I don't know if he's a believer, Max Egan down in Australia. That's not his real name, by the way. He uses a pseudonym. He did an interview with a Dr. Kaufman who has, he's a physician. He's got decades of experience in molecular biology. He said that these vaccinations that they're trying to develop right now will absolutely be creating new DNA in us. What they will be doing is using electromagnetic frequencies to punch holes in our cells, and then these whatever's contained in these vaccinations will have animal DNA in it. So one of the commandments that says thou shalt not commit adultery, nothing should be adulterated. No creation, nothing that was made by our Creator should be adulterated in any way. No hybrids, nothing. And that's exactly what they do with this vaccination program. That's exactly what they do by putting animal DNA in this stuff. They literally want to try to make a new creature out of us that is something less than what our Father made us to be. And this is not some conspiracy theory. This is exactly what Dr. Blaylock is saying. This is what Dr. Kaufman is saying. These people, like you were just describing, Bill Gates and his wife, these people do exactly the opposite of what the Father says. Everything that they do, because they can't make anything from scratch, because they are not Elohim, they are not a god. They try to act like a god by just adulterating and messing up and messing with everything that he makes.
Amen. Amen. Let me remind anybody that when you call in, folks, do me a favor and mute your mic until you're actually ready to say something. Most phones, that's pretty easy to do. But we're getting some background noise feedback, so somebody's got their mic activated, even though they're just listening. So I don't want to have to mute you because you might have a question or something to say, and I wouldn't know. So do me a favor and just mute your mics when you're not speaking. That way that background noise won't come through. So, but yeah, Mike, is it any wonder that these people are doing something as demonic as this when we look at the character of these people? Like I said, for a dirtbag Dershowitz to get on an interview and actually say the demonic things he said, these people don't have a conscience. They've got no filter whatsoever.
No, they don't have any filter. But they're monsters. And, you know, what's amazing is if you went out in the street or on this venue, tried to give people medical advice, and because you don't have a medical license, right? You're not allowed to give people medical advice. You're not allowed to practice medicine. But some billionaire who has weaseled his way into the World Health Organization, Bill Gates, because he's got enough money and power and influence, he can practice medicine all he wants. He can actually take syringes in India and down in the Congo and any other place that they can trick people to take his pharmacopoeia. He can actually inject people with syringes, and he doesn't get in trouble. But if you were to give people medical advice on how to use vitamins or good clean food to heal a disease like cancer, they'd try to lock you up and put you in jail.
Yeah, amen to that. We got another caller here. Let me grab him. 614 area code. Welcome to the program.
Hey, Dan. How you doing?
Hi.
It's Chris.
Oh, hi, Chris.
Yeah. I just had one quick point of contention really quick. You said Dershowitz should be run from as soon as possible. I think it needs to be run over with a truck as soon as possible. So slight correction there.
Oh, okay. Well, I don't know what it's going to take to get our people to be ready to take up arms in defense. These people have made it very clear they wish to do us physical harm. That's an act of war, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. The door-to-door, like in Atlanta, I think started maybe like 3 weeks ago, but they were the CDC was doing like voluntary like testing door-to-door in some Atlanta neighborhoods. You were talking about that earlier.
Yeah.
But
yeah, the contact tracers.
Yeah, the contact tracers. Yeah.
Yeah, I knew they had started that up around in North Georgia, and I didn't know. You say it's voluntary right now. They always start it off as voluntary, you know, and then it becomes mandatory.
Right. But I mean, I don't know. The way I see this shaking out, and maybe it's just me, is, you know, it's going to be like a slow strangulation, or, you know, it's going to be the type of thing where if you don't do it, then, you know, you just find you can't go certain places.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You won't be able to get on an airplane or a cruise ship or whatever unless you can prove that you've been vaccinated.
Yeah. So, I mean, personally, I think the answer is just to get off the grid entirely, but that's me.
I agree.
That's all I really had. You guys were talking about the contact tracers earlier. I just wanted to interject that point.
Okay.
Thanks.
Yeah. Thanks a lot, Chris. All right. So I went ahead and muted you, Chris. If you want to come back on, just do the star six again. But, yeah, good points. I think a lot of people, well, you're seeing it now. You know, nobody's putting a gun to people's heads to make them wear these idiotic masks, even though they don't do any good at all. It's like one guy said, wearing the masks that you see people have on is going to stop viruses about as good as the chain link fence is going to stop mosquitoes. Okay.
I've seen that. Yeah.
Yeah. So if you're that brainwashed that you're going to put something like a chain link fence across your face, thinking you're going to stop mosquitoes from getting to you, that just shows your level of low IQ. These masks, even if a mask could stop them, you don't have the right kind on, and you couldn't afford them. You couldn't afford them. And they're only good for a short term, like doctors when they're in the operating room. They put those masks on only during the actual operation, and as soon as it's over, they take them off because it's full of their own bacteria and germs, and they're a very expensive mask. So even if you – and they're doing it for – so they don't get themselves contaminated with the blood from the person on the operating table. They're not wearing it because they're worried about getting a flu bug. So, I mean, if you have any brain power left at all, you should be able to discern the fact that this is just all utter horseshit and walk away from it. I think personally – you're right. A lot of people are voluntarily going to go into the beast system because they're like Lot's wife. They want all the little goodies. They want to ride in the silver tubes called airplanes. They want to go to a vacation at the Taj Mahal or whatever casino. They want to be able to go to the malls and buy the little trinkets, all the things that Satan tempted the Christ with, all the little delicacies. In fact, the word delicacies in the New Testament in the book of Revelation, that's exactly what that Greek word is talking about. All these little enticements that the Jew merchants and bankers are putting in front of you. Oh, look at the new smart cars with all their little dainty gadgets and things you can play with. Oh, you can put an earbud in your ear and radiate into your brain, and you don't have to have your hands on your phone while you're driving down the road. How about a novel concept? How about paying attention to driving and shut the damn thing off? Okay, maybe that would reduce the accidents. How many people do we lose every year to accidents? And of those, how many because somebody was playing with their goddamn phone or their entertainment center now in the middle of their console instead of watching the road?
Yeah,
I've got a niece who's totaled 3 cars, and 2 of them because she was playing with electronic devices. She's lucky that she wasn't seriously hurt or even dead, actually. But 3 cars, and she isn't even 30 years old yet. 3 cars totaled, and I know 2 of them at least, it could have been the third as well, the accidents were tied to electronic toys that these merchants bought. Do we really need that, guys? That's the question I've got. Do we really need all this bullshit?
No.
Can't we live a simpler life, a more harmonious life with what Yahweh provides? Why do we have to have all of these gadgets that the Jew produces, most of it coming from frickin' China anyway, with all kinds of spyware in it and backdoors and all this other bullshit? Why do we think we need that? Why don't we get to communities? In fact, let me read a verse to you. I got to read this verse. It was sent to me. It's in the book of Micah for anybody that wants to go there. Micah chapter 7. And I'm going to read a few verses ahead of the main verse here because I was looking at it last night. I think it applies to us. Starting at verse 8, and then we'll get to the main one down at verse 14. But at verse 8 it says, "Do not rejoice against me, my enemy. When I fall, I will arise. When I sit in darkness, Yahweh will be a light to me." And in the Aramaic language, those words, darkness and light, are talking about ignorance and truth and wisdom. "I will bear the indignation of Yahweh because I have sinned against him until he pleads my case and executes judgment for me. He will bring me out to the light. I will see his righteousness. Then my enemy will see it, and shame will cover him or her who said to me, 'Where is Yahweh your God?'" And then down here at 14 is this is our ARC project right here. "Shepherd your people with your staff." It's talking to us shepherds. "Shepherd your people with your staff, the flock of your heritage," meaning your own kind, "who dwell by themselves in a forest in the middle of fertile pasture land. Let them feed in Bashan and Gilead as in the days of old." That's what we're talking about. Right there is our solution, isn't it?
It is. Hey, Dan, I have a question for you. Going back to these vaccines, I know you mentioned earlier that your daughter was a nurse. Is she forced to take a vaccine in order to keep her job?
Well, actually, it's coercion, okay? They'll claim it's not forced, even though she said lately they actually have threatened her job. For years, what they did to the nurses who would not vaccinate is make them wear a mask. Again, a sign of shame and intimidation. The mask isn't doing a damn thing to anybody, okay? So it was a form of intimidation and shame to identify you as non-compliant. So for years, you didn't have to do it, but then you'd have to work all day with that damn thing on your face.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, recently, I think she acquiesced and got a shot because they actually threatened her job.
Mm-hmm.
So to answer that question, they put a lot of pressure on the nurses. And actually now they're threatening them. And that's what's coming for the rest of America, by the way. You can see it coming. You want to go to Costco or BJ's or Sam's Club, show us your vaccination ID. Okay, that's what the Jew is pushing for. And what the Jews push for will end up getting, because we don't have an advocate in government anywhere. I don't see it. If there is one, somebody needs to call in here and tell me who it is. Where's our advocate that that is a check and balance against these demonic creatures and what they want to do. So that's exactly what they're pushing for. We will have to show a sign of our obedience to the beast before we'll be allowed to have any of his things. Well, here's the good news, folks. And I saw an interview with Professor James McCanney talking to the former CIA officer, David Steele. And James McCanney was talking about all the inventions that he alone, and there's other people with inventions, but just the inventions that he alone has created in the last couple decades that would help a self-sustaining community live outside the beast. He's got inventions that will provide all the things that we actually need, not necessarily want, but the things that we actually need, including electricity, to drive hardwired stuff, not wireless, no wireless. But all the things we'd need to have clean water and a power and safe shelters like hempcrete used to build homes, underground, partially underground homes that are completely energy independent. Okay, all those things are within the realm of our reach. We just have to decide we want to come out of Babylon and do it.
Mm-hmm.
Mike, you still with us?
I am, and you know, it's very scary to me that when you really think about it, why is this allowed to happen? You said we have no advocate sticking up for us, right? And anybody right. who tries, like this Dr. Blaylock or Terry Tenpenny, the both of them spent their lives repenting because in their professional careers they used to inject children with this crap. And they realized when the evidence was presented to them that they had done wrong, so they repented and sacrificed their reputation and their treasure and their careers. I mean, Dr. Blaylock had his license taken from him because he dared do the right thing and speak up against this, the big pharma industry. Well, I think what we may be skipping over in this, and believe me, Dan, you cover every detail. What's coming out again is this 5G linked to all of this. The 5G technology, and I've been in telecommunications my whole career, is a weapon. There's no doubt that it's a weapon. And these creatures who know that it's a weapon, because thousands of studies have been done proving that it's so dangerous and the technology should absolutely not be released, there is some kind of a dangerous synchronicity between 5G and these vaccines. The way that the vaccine is going to make us more susceptible, in other words, to the 5G, or is it a chicken and the egg thing? The 5G makes us more susceptible to the vaccine and then all the poisons and the food and the water. The bottom line is, when Bill Gates says that in public, during a speech, during a presentation at the UN, he says, the vaccine program will help us to reduce the population. Now, let me get this straight. I know I wasn't born last night, and I didn't just fall off the turnip truck. If vaccines are supposed to help people survive disease and live longer, better lives, how is this vaccine program of his going to reduce the population, in his own words? It's just so scary. Why does nobody talk about that?
Yeah, well, again, and when I said we have no advocate, I meant no advocate within government or any of the government agencies. Our father's our greatest advocate. But, yeah, you're right. I mean, that's why I'm saying I can't believe there's still people ignorant of what's going on. When these people plainly state their objectives. Here's the only thing I can think of, Mike, and tell me anybody on the call here if I'm wrong. The correlation I see is the fact that people who watch television, Talmud vision, The people who watch television are the deceived. Because what they do, because they're lazy, they don't want to look up anything for themselves. They want to come in and they want to get straight over to their party or their girlfriend's house or have dinner and go play some computer game. So they'll turn on the Talmud vision, and whatever that flat screen talking head says is what they accept. It's just plain old-fashioned laziness. And what I have found is people that do that, you can't talk to them. You can't. They don't. It's like they can't even conceive of independent research because they're that lazy. They're that dumbed down. That they're going. They're looking around, going, "You don't believe what the talking head just said? You don't believe what the beast is saying? How can you say that, Dan? Well, wait a minute. If you just go listen to this doctor or this nurse or this immunologist or this whole frickin' host of people in some of these conferences with centuries of experience among them, all saying the same things, that people like Fauci is full of shit. And yet these morons are glued to their television sets thinking that moron on the screen is telling the truth. That's the only correlation I see to the deception, is it's virtually always TV watchers that fall for this bullshit. Am I wrong?
No, I agree. A TV is the most dangerous weapon out there.
Well, go ahead, Mike.
I was just going to say, Dan, it's frightening because, you know, nobody's ever seen the mind. Nobody knows what it looks like, right? But every single brilliant man, whether they're a believer or not, and in the Bible, in Scripture, it says the same thing. These brilliant men could virtually disagree about every other thing, you know, every other topic, but what everybody seems to agree on is we become what we think about. That's why Scripture says think on all of these great things. Think about the kingdom. Think about the great advantages of living, you know, Yah's lifestyle. Think about, you know, the blessings that you have in your life. Well, what do most people see on television all day? They see crap. They see bad news. They see illicit sex. They see, you know, the mind of our adversary. So if that's what's pumped into your subconscious 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, shoot, I know people that go to sleep with the TV on and say they can't sleep without it.
Oh, yeah, I do too.
You get pumped full of these literally satanic messages 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. The flicker rate on these televisions is meant to give you a more realistic picture so that the subconscious mind thinks it's real. The mind doesn't have a firewall. That's why we're not supposed to look at this stuff. We're not supposed to let it seep into our brain. It rubs off on us. That's why this Hindu philosophy of, you know, what other people do, you know, doesn't affect us. That's nonsense. That's utter nonsense. Yes, we're supposed to have control of our own minds, but primarily what your mind should be, you know, or how your mind should be controlled is you should be saying as a responsible person, I'm not going to look at or watch this stuff because I'm not God, and it does rub off on me. It does have an effect on me. I'll just tell you a very, very quick story. A woman that I thought was really coming our way in terms of thoughts and beliefs and ideas was spending a lot of time with a woman who did threesomes with other guys and all these illicit, you know, sexual activities with multiple people at the same time, going to all these parties. I won't paint any more vivid a picture than that. But this woman I was dating tried to tell me, well, what does it matter what they do in their life? I said, well, first of all, that rubs off on you. Don't partake of their sins. You don't have to be at the party for this to happen. B, the more this person tells you about what they do in their private life, the more it's going to affect your mind. And what has it done? It's twisted your morality now. It's made you believe that, oh, whatever anyone else does in their bedroom doesn't matter. Oh, really? That's why we now have drag queens reading books to our kids in school, and grown men sit there and clap as the man gets up, and I say man loosely there, gets up and does a striptease act in a public library. Because we've been taught progressively, little by little, that whatever anyone else does in their own home doesn't affect us. Now it's in our face. And we are subject to and partaking of their sins. So this just dovetails with your topic, Dan, about nobody being an advocate for us. We used to have people in Congress stand up and say, no, we should have the Father's commandments on all government buildings, because that's supposed to be the foundation of all British common and Western law and all of Western civilization. We should have laws against pornography and obscenity, but our enemy, the Jew, has eliminated that. We're supposed to feel bad because we don't let people live and let live. I was talking to my dad about this last night. I promise this will be short. We talked about how, if you think about it, the purse strings of Congress and how all the laws are passed for 350 million people are really only, they're only governed by a few people who head committees. So if you think about it, our enemies only really need to bribe or blackmail a handful of the 400 and some odd people in the House of Representatives. You really only need to twist and control a few people to control the destinies of 350 million people in the most powerful and wealthy country that's ever existed. It's very scary. So we really don't have an advocate. And if we had our government fear us, like Thomas Jefferson said, if the government was afraid of us, we would have liberty. But we have tyranny because we're afraid of the government.
Right. Well, effectively, we've made government an idol, a god. Really? I mean, if you think
exactly.
about it. Yeah. Our people mentally have put government in the place of God.
Yep. No, that is idolatry. We care more about being called a name. We care more about what the government thinks of us than what our Creator thinks of us.
Right. And that's why the serpent's people, these Jews, wanted these third world nations to flood in on Jacob Israel, the white race, is because they typically allow government to be their god. Okay? That is typical of them. Look at every Central American country, South American country, very authoritarian. They're like the Chinese. They seem to accept authoritarian government much easier than the white race does. Okay? So to undermine the power of the white race and the strength of our unity as a homogenous nation, they open the floodgates to flood us with these people who don't think like us, who will never think like us, never totally accept our culture. There's a few exceptions here and there, but I'm talking in general here. Okay, like John Mark says in his slideshow, these people are 80% socialist. They'll vote right down the line 80% socialist Democrat. Every time, the blacks, the browns, not so much the Orientals, but blacks and browns especially, 80% of the time will be in favor of these totalitarian regimes. And they knew that. And so we have allowed the enemy to come in and change our laws, change our immigration policy, change the rules that we had for being an elector and being a citizen, to where now we have been inundated with people of low IQ who have no problem with government being their god. And the problem is the white race is sitting there with their thumbs up their asses thinking that this is okay. And that's because of those lying prostitutes called preachers telling them that, well, what would Jesus say, Dan? You know, Jesus would just say, bring them all in. I just love everybody. Well, that's not the words of Christ, as it says in the book of Matthew. I was sent but the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Every one of his apostles was a Benjaminite. Okay, Benjaminites are what? White. Iceland is predominantly Benjaminite. Last time I checked, Iceland, most of them are Caucasian, blonde-haired, blue-eyed individuals. Okay, that is so easy to prove. Where did the disciples go after Christ left this earth? They went to the lands of the white race. They didn't go to the Aborigines in Australia or New Zealand. They didn't go down to sub-Saharan Africa. They went where the white man was with this message. It's not until these prostitutes started getting trained in these Jewish-funded seminaries and teaching this absolutely abysmal policy that Jesus just loves everybody and that he was a Jew, which is a complete lie, that all this nonsense was foisted on us, and the church, instead of being a watchdog for us, has become our enemy. At least that's how I see it. I mean, if I'm wrong, you guys, you're my watchdogs. You tell me. If this is wrong, tell me. But that's the way I see it.
No, I agree. I definitely agree. We're at the point where, as you said, Dan, there's no arguing against this. The natural laws that govern the universe, the commandments, are being violated, and as they get violated, we get the bad results. So what's the answer for folks like us? We need to, as the book says, be ye separate. Get away from them so that you don't partake of their sins. And this is not the Father sitting at some big control panel pushing buttons saying, oh, you broke a commandment, you're punished. No. The same way we've got the, you know, gravity or inertia or any of the laws that govern anything. You know, you put in an acorn in the ground and it produces an oak tree. All these laws that our Father put into effect, you break them, they break you. You live in alignment with them, you get the blessings that come with them. It's not rocket science. It's very easy to understand. It's hard to do sometimes, but we need to be away from people who don't understand this principle. The people who listen to the Jew through Talmud vision and radio and publications and school and what have you, that have been taught that you can live any way you want and live an abundant life and a life free of disease and poverty and war, they've been lied to. They're believing a delusion. There is, as we talked the other day, Dan, on the phone, there is something called the way. There is a way of life that if you live it, you'll have everything you could possibly want, all the blessings that could possibly exist. This is what the Father was telling the Israelites shortly after they left Egypt. Okay, let me reiterate something to you. These are my laws. If you live by them, you'll have everything you could possibly want. So I'm begging you, choose life, right? This is what he's saying. If you don't, bad things are going to happen, like talking to a bunch of kids. Well, we're listening to the enemy as a people. That's why we're suffering. So as you've told me in a conversation recently, Dan, maybe he's culling the herd. Just because you have the hardware, meaning the genetics of Adam kind, doesn't mean you have the spirit of Adam kind. You have the hardware, but maybe not the software. And you're going to suffer if you don't come along with us. So next step is community. Where are we going to live so that we can, I guess I would say, just create momentum and powerful force with all of believing people doing the right thing. Who could possibly be against us? If you've got one person keeping father's laws. There's power behind that. But if you had a whole community, a whole nation of people, even if we just came close to doing the right thing through proper attitude and effort, we would be blessed.
Exactly. Well, you know, that barber in Ohio, I think it was Ohio, that barber that, it might have been Michigan, but the barber that opened up his shop and said, I'm going to work in defiance of that transvestite governor, he was shocked at how much support he had, including a father-son legal office that's representing him as he's filing a lawsuit, all kinds of people. So, you know, courage is contagious, and it's certainly contagious amongst the Israelite people. Just like when King David went down and slew Goliath, that emboldened all the rest of the Israelite soldiers, and they went in and kicked everybody's ass after that. So, you know, if anything, if we could just get a group of us to form a community and do things the way Yahweh wants us to do it, it would lead the way for others to do the same thing. So I got a few quotes here I want to read real quick. This is David Irving said, if all the dead Allied soldiers could see their countries now, they would have thrown down their weapons and fought with the Germans. I say amen. That's exactly right. The Judaica Encyclopedia, 1971. Jews began to call themselves Hebrews and Israelites in 1860. When did America start going down the tubes? 1860. And then everybody's heard this name, Charles Spurgeon. Charles Spurgeon said, a time will come when instead of shepherds feeding the sheep, the church will have clowns entertaining the goats. That's what we got today. These preachers are clowns entertaining the goats. Just like Dan from Georgia said there, Harold Wallace Rosenthal said, most Jews do not like to admit it, but our God is Lucifer, and we are his chosen people. Hallelujah. Christ said it too. Daniel Webster said, good intentions will always be pleaded for every assumption of power. It is hardly too strong to say that the Constitution was made to guard the people against the dangers of good intentions. And finally, Daniel Webster in 1834 said, God grants liberty only to those who love it and are always ready to guard and defend it. That's where we've been led astray, is where the people today don't realize that you have to guard and defend it. They think it's just something that's going to happen like the sun coming up every morning. You know what I mean?
Yeah, they take it for granted.
Oh, yeah. They take a lot of things for granted. And this whole notion that God's going to bless America, I've said it for years. I've said it for almost 21 years on this show. Somebody call in here and tell me what the hell he's going to bless us for, please. You explain to me what we do that would cause him to bless this nation. Please, somebody tell me. Because I haven't seen it in all the years that I've been paying attention, since the 1980s anyway. All the years that I've been paying attention, somebody explain to me what it is we as a nation of white people are doing that would make God bless us. What is it?
Not much, because we don't follow many of his laws, do we?
No.
I mean, we have legalized murder. We've got abortion.
Right.
We don't put murderers to death as we're told to do. You know, we have this prison system, which is not biblical at all. You know, there's only if someone's found guilty of murder, they're supposed to be put to death or any capital crime, murder, rape.
Right.
If they're guilty of theft, they're supposed to, and they can't make restitution to the victim, then they're supposed to be sold into slavery. But we don't do that. We have this prison system that costs millions of dollars every year. There's nothing to bless. We just ignore his laws.
Right.
By the way,
we're
suffering. Gary, what's in the new stimulus package? This is an exact quote. Tucker Carlson read it on the news the other night. In regards to prisons, Why would the stimulus package have anything to do with incarcerated felons? I don't know. However, it in that proposed bill, it said that all felons that can prove that they have asthma or any other kind of respiratory ailment, as long as they have not committed violence against a specific person, should be let out of prison immediately. And just let that sink in for a second. These people who have sworn to defend you and your property, supposedly, which is supposed to be the essence of the Constitution, right?
Yep.
Defend your rights and your private property, are now telling you that they're going to steal your private property so that they can keep felons in jail, but, oh, by the way, there's a disease. We better let them out now. I mean, what? We don't keep any of the laws, so we get the punishment that comes from disobeying the laws.
Well, we've allowed the worst elements of our society to become persons in government, which is the exact definition of a kakistocracy. I like what you said, Mike. We need to come up with a new term, and I think we should invent it right now, and it's a sophocracy. And sophocracy is a combination of a sophia and ocracy, which is governing. And governing by the wise, okay, because sophos is both Latin and Greek, meaning wisdom. So a sophocracy would be government by the wise, which is exactly what the Bible tells us to do and what the Founding Fathers expected of us. So we need to get back to a sophocracy, and we need to have men at arms that are willing to support the overthrow of this Bolshevik insurgency and establishing the wisest and most prudent of our men back in charge of our nation. Is that a formula for success, do you think?
Oh, that's what we're commanded to do.
Right. If we put all of these demonic forces that we've been describing, if we put them in prison and put them on trial for their crimes, and we let people like you, Mike, and you, Dan, be the leaders of our people, would not this world change for the better almost instantly?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. You mentioned Iceland. The head of the snake, what we talk about a lot, Dan, is this financial system, right? It is not a godly money system. What did the people of Iceland do? I mean, they kicked the bankers out and they wrote off all the bad debt. And gee, what a surprise. The tribe of Benjamin is flourishing now in their own land.
Right.
Pastor, you know, I was sitting here listening to the conversations, and especially about the churches and what they're doing. And I approached a pastor once, a big church, and the pastor is well known throughout the United States. And I asked the question, what does John 1 mean? Okay, and John 1, of course, talks about who is the Antichrist. And as he went through and he explained this to me, I says, in other words, you're telling me those who do not believe in Jesus Christ and they spit on his name, and they did all kinds of things. I says, those people are condemned. He said, absolutely. And then he quoted to me John 8:44. So then I said, well, why do you stand up here and tell us that the Jews are God's chosen people? Now, you want to talk about a very educated man stumbling all over his tongue. You know, this guy did,
right?
Because how can you sit there, and the Word of God says anybody that does not believe that Jesus Christ came in the flesh is the Antichrist, and then you take this Antichrist and you put him at the head of your church. You know, you can go in there and talk about how bad the murderers are, how bad the rapists are, how bad the fornicators are, any of these things, and they will agree. But don't you ever say anything about the true Antichrist. You know, and if the Antichrist
right.
is doing all this work out here with these diseases, and you name it, the pornography you can get, they're the ones that are in charge of this. And it's all about the money. You know, if you want to see what a problem is, follow the money. Even on this plague that they have, follow the money. Who's getting paid for all these ventilators they're making and all these masks that they're wearing, all the gloves they have? I mean, their profits have gone skyrocketed. It was things that used to be useful that they used to make a profit off of. Forget that. Start making masks. I mean, Ford and Chevrolet, they stopped making money off of making cars, and they started making ventilators.
The cars aren't killing people fast enough, so ventilators will, because they have an 80% death rate. When they put you on a ventilator, 80% of the time you never come off of it. So,
does anybody notice that all of a sudden there's no terrorism anymore either? There's no Al-Qaeda.
Yeah.
There is no ISIS. Oh, gee, what a surprise. ISIS stopped doing what they were doing because they had to get their masks and hide in their caves somewhere. No.
Right. Joke. It's all government. The governments of the world are the beasts. Come on, folks, wake up. All right? Every terrorist group is funded by a government. Every terrorist group is led by a government, doing the wishes of a government, whether it's CIA, Mossad, whatever. Okay? So every false flag event like the Boston Marathon, Sandy Hook, they're all staged events. Every one of these goddamn things is staged. When the hell are people going to wake up? You're watching a soap opera. Everything coming across that damn tube, that flat screen, is a soap opera run by your governments. It can't be any simpler than that. People need to get their face out in front of that damn screen and start thinking for themselves, because they're just watching a play. Every one of these actors, including these morons in Washington, D.C., they're all actors. Okay? Not one of those bastards has ever probably worked a day in their life, a real job. I'm talking about a real job. Okay? Not one of them's ever broke a fingernail plowing a field or building a house. They're all bought and paid for whores, actors, playing a part for the level of Jewish international bankers that have them by the balls. It's as simple as that. Okay? It's not rocket science.
Pastor, I just wanted to ask you a question. I wanted to ask you a question, Pastor. What would happen, or I would say, what would he say if he were here today, Pastor Pete Peters? What would he be doing?
He'd probably be crying. Okay. I knew Pastor Pete. I got to meet him a couple times and communicate with him, and I've been to his seminars when he was at when Scriptures for America came to some of the Bible conferences I went to. Pastor Pete was a hell of a guy and a rancher. So he knew what working for a living was all about. But Pastor Pete would be crying at the condition of this country today.
Well, he did cry, and he was his money that went into a lot of the things that he did, you know, for Scriptures for America. I mean, he had a little smiley church made out of a fire department. How did it get so much money? Because Pastor Pete, with his ranch, put his money where his mouth is. And
right. He's
still heard today.
Yeah.
You know, I know that you did go to some of his things, and that's where I learned a lot of stuff, was listening to him. And then you, when you were on radio station in the other one. So there was a lot of stuff put out there by a few pastors. It's just a few people that did this, Pastor. Just a few. Not a whole bunch. Most of your churches aren't worth a crap.
Right.
Just like that, with that one guy's name that has a football stadium full of people. It's all about the money for these guys.
Oh, Osteen. You're talking about Osteen or Kevin Copeland?
Well, both of them, but mainly Osteen. I think Osteen got bigger than Copeland. And, you know, this David Jeremiah, he has a church over here. And it's a college, a high school, a junior high school, you know, all the schools that made it big because the people who send their kids there, then they'd end up going to church over there. And you go inside that thing, it's got three great big screens when he's preaching, you get to see him on. It's silly. And these guys, they don't know. Well, first of all, if you listen to his name, Pastor David Jeremiah. Now, who has a name right. like that? You know, and
well,
then
it's probably a pseudonym. It's probably not his given name.
It sounds very Jewish to me, and he looks Jewish if you look at him. And he took that church over from another pastor, and another pastor and his wife. They built it. And then they went back to D.C. and they were doing something. So they set him up so that Jeremiah could get his hands on the education. That's what it was all about. So,
yeah. Oh, Billy Graham. Angel says it's Billy Graham you're talking about.
Not Billy Graham. Billy Graham was never here in San Diego. I can't remember his name. It was him and his wife, Beverly O'Lahey was their name.
Oh, LaHaye. Well, they're all the same. They're all prostitutes. All of them.
LaHaye was the one that started that church, and it grew. And then there were some other ones that grew off of it. And
yeah. Well, and I know. I just got this email from one of our listeners that the United States Navy grants the first waiver for transgender service member to serve under their preferred gender. Okay, you want to know what's wrong in America? Okay, where is Washington or any leadership in our government fighting this kind of nonsense? What are they doing to our military? Everybody thinks our military is going to help us out. How are they going to help us out when they're full of homosexuals and transgender and everything else? Huh?
They're not.
It's unbelievable.
This is the problem. You know, people said, oh, you're God's chosen people and they have the law. Well, we're living under the Jews now. How do you like it? You know, I told somebody that once. How do you like it? Now they don't like it. Now they're locked in their house. You know, and I know a couple of German people, you know, from Germany, and they flat said, I don't want to hear anybody talk about Hitler ever again.
Well, you know, they need to pull their heads out of their asses. Ken from Mississippi says he now has all of the By Yahweh's Design shows downloaded into his VLC media player playlist, and they're going out 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. So thanks a lot. He says no need for Talmud vision. They can go listen to the, and here's the thing, the By Yahweh's Design programs, a lot of them were with guests. So if anybody thinks you're going to tune into the past shows that go clear back to 1999, you're just going to hear me blather on. There were tons and tons of guests that I've had on with tremendous information about health, about government, about the Constitution, about law enforcement, about the military, like Stephen Barry and General Ben Parton and Colonel Don de Grand Pre when we talked about 9/11 and who actually who did it. We talked about that stuff within a month of it happening. So that far back, truth was being put out there, but how many people took the time to listen? I don't know. It's amazing. I keep thinking of Lot's wife. Our people act just like Lot's wife. That's the problem. We've become effeminate, and we've become emotional, and we're in love with the delicacies of the whore of Babylon, as Revelation says. Okay, and I need to ask that you guys, if you're going to clang dishes around or talk or whatever in the background, please mute your mics because we're picking all that stuff up on the program. So, but anyway, we're at the 2 hour mark here, so we're going to have to wrap things up here pretty soon because people have things they probably want to do. Any other issues?
Thanks for having me.
Yeah. I used to listen to you. I've been listening to you for 1,000 years now. So, yeah, that's you're part of why I learned what I've learned. You know, you and there's a few other pastors, Pastor Peters, Pastor Eli James. I mean, a lot of people forget that it was on your show that Pastor Eli James got his start. So you started a lot of pastors on the road to telling the truth. So we want to praise God for you.
Oh, I appreciate that, Gary. So thanks for calling in. I'm going to go ahead and mute you as you say your final comments. So give Elka a hug and a kiss, and you guys have a great day, all right?
Okay, y'all bless.
God bless. All right. How about you, Dan? Any final comments, buddy?
None from me. Thank you for having me on. I've enjoyed it.
Yeah, we'll do it again.
Absolutely.
And y'all bless. Yeah, take
y'all
care.
Bless.
Michael, any final comments?
I was just going to say, these comments about the military with these approvals for transgender and I can identify as whatever I want. Now, I thought when you went to boot camp, the purpose was that they were tearing you down so that you would act all as one unit. Everybody was supposed to have the same haircut and wear the same uniform. Everybody was supposed to basically be bereft of their own personal interests, especially in Marine Corps boot camp, and be turned into a trained killer. Well, how is this edict now in alignment with that idea? Now you've got a bunch of people floating around behaving like their own personal sexuality is more important than the mission. It's just, I mean, it's an absolute joke to me. Why is that even something that's considered? No, you're not here to talk about your sexuality. You're not here to tell us what you think and what you want. You're in the military, boy. You're going to do what we say. Where did that spirit go? I'm confused. I really am.
Well, I was in the military, and you're right. Basic training is to get you to act as a unit. That's why you all have the same haircut. You wear the same uniforms. Your bunks are all lined up the same. You hang your clothes up exactly like everybody else because they inspect you for that. Every uniform has to be in your closet in the right order, spaced evenly. All your underwear, your handkerchiefs, your socks, everything's in a particular drawer in a particular place, folded a particular way. Your bed is made exactly like the guy next to you. So there is no differentiation as far as appearance. Everything's exactly the same. And all the training was to get you to act like a team. And I'm going to blow my own horn here because the sergeant paid me a compliment when I went to basic training. And it's because of my coaching. I played a lot of baseball and a lot of football. And my coaches, that's one of the things they instilled in us on our teams, and I carried that with me to basic training, and so I got an award at basic training because I took a leadership position, because a lot of the young guys coming in there had never been in sports and never been in that situation, and so I became like a squad leader, leading them to chapel, leading them to the cafeteria, marching them and things like that. Because it was natural for me, because I had been under that kind of situation. So you're right. Basic training is to tear down individuality and get you thinking like a team, not necessarily turning you into a killer, but to get you to become a team member. So whatever the job of the team was, that you're going to become a team player. Well, think about this. Our whole society, and this includes the military, has been taken over with this Jewish Baphomet mentality. And they don't want an effective military. They want, just like our society, they don't want it effective. They are a parasite. They are a cancer. And so a bright and physically and mentally strong military is an anathema to the Jew. So they want the same sickness that they've injected into our society, injected into our military. And because our military leadership is also nothing but whores anymore, political appointees and whores for the money, they're not going to stand in the way. And so all the good generals, all the good colonels and admirals, they've gone by the wayside thanks to Obama and then continuing on with the current administration. The good ones are gone. Okay, the good ones are in retirement or have actually passed over, and all we're left with is the whores that will do whatever Washington tells them to do, and Washington does whatever the Jew tells them to do. So now they've infected our military to the point where I think, for the most part, and I get this from active military people sometimes, that said, you would not recognize the military that you were in the 1970s, Dan. You would not recognize today's military. It's very politically correct. It's very effeminate. It's very diverse. It's very, accepting homosexuality and transgenderism. And anybody that knows anything about real armies is you can never win a war with a group of people made up of that contingency. You're not going to win a war. So if we end up in war with anybody, it's not going to be the military that saves our ass. It's going to be the citizen soldiers and the militia. That's it. The fact that we outnumber any military that would invade these shores. We have more men at arms than any other military on Earth. Okay, maybe we don't have a whole lot of tanks and stuff, but guess what? They break down. They take lots of parts. They take lots of fuel. Look at Germany in World War II. Germany had the best tanks and the best tank commanders and crews of the war. But what good were they when they couldn't get enough gas to run them and diesel fuel? They just took up space on a battlefield, and the guys had to abandon them because without the fuel, they couldn't run. Okay? Every one of these high-tech things that they want you to be afraid of has an Achilles heel. I know that because I worked on high-tech stuff in the Air Force. All that stuff's great. Oh, yeah, we had all the high-tech stuff up there and the B-52 bombers and the F-14s and all that. Yep, we sure did. But guess what? Those things are just expensive junk if they don't get the spare parts to keep them running because they're always breaking. I shouldn't have said F-14s. They were F-4s. Okay? The F-4 Phantoms and the B-52s were all over the place back then. And I had a good buddy of mine was a helicopter mechanic during Vietnam, and he was stationed over in Vietnam. And he told me about what they went through, which was very similar to what I went through. They were working their asses off trying to keep those things running. Now, that's when you've got a real military full of predominantly white guys who know how to work, who know how to be team players, and actually want to accomplish something. Well, that's not what you have in your military today. You've got ass kissers. You've got effeminate. You've got homosexuals. You've got political people that want to go up in rank just to get more prestige and money. You don't have real soldiers. That, again, there's exceptions to what I'm saying, but I'm talking about in leadership particularly. Okay, the leadership are nothing but whores.
What about when all the parts or many of the parts that are needed for these things are made in foreign countries who are our enemies? What sane patriot leader would do such a thing? Outsource the parts, absolutely necessary, critical parts for weaponry being outsourced to foreign countries. Who would do that?
It's the treason, and we've said that. The Jew is a traitor, okay? The Jews run Washington. This goes back to why did the Jews in the media put down South Africa and its apartheid, okay? Because they wanted a communist takeover with Mandela because the black piece of shit Mandela was in the pocket of the Jews. Now, why did they want Mandela and his communist blacks to run South Africa? Because they would allow control over the precious metals and the strategic metals that come out of South Africa. How many people know that a preponderance of our strategic metals, and that by that I mean the metals that are needed to make tanks and gun barrels and armament, those strategic metals come from South Africa. So now you just took and put the nation that we had the best relationship with, white South Africa, who supplied our strategic metals, you just now put it in the hands of black communists under the control of the Jew. What sane military guy would do that? What sane military guy would say, well, okay, that's a good thing to do. That's the stupidest thing to do. But we did it. That just shows you we don't have leadership in the military. Not today. Not today. We're on our own. I think the handwriting's on the wall. We're on our own. It's Yahweh and Yahweh's people.
I was going to say, I'm sorry, sir. I was going to say, how frightening is it when the President of the United States says, I come into office and I'm being told, wink, wink, by top patriotic military leaders that we're out of ammunition. Out of ammunition. You don't have a military if you don't have any ammunition. It's unbelievable. The President of the United States openly says that in a press conference. Oh, when I took over, we didn't have any ammunition. How is that possible? If there's one thing that you would say, hey, if we don't have enough money to build new weapons, but at least let's make sure that we maintain the ones we have and make sure we've got enough bullets.
Mike, yeah, that is stupid. But you know what? You just reminded me of something that I had a family member tell me years ago. They had a son who was in the Middle East. You remember the Middle Eastern wars they got us into? We've been in war our whole lifetime. How much peace have we known? So they were in the Middle East, and she was telling me what she had to send to her son, because if she didn't send it to him, he would have done without. Items of clothing. Boots, socks. I don't think she was able to send any kind of military hardware like a rifle or bullets or anything like that. But, I mean, the things that she was describing that they have to do without, I shook my head. I said, wait a minute. Our military is in the Middle East and they can't get basic shit? What are you telling me? It's like, what the hell is going on here? But here again, this is the plague you get when you allow the Antichrist to take over. When are our people going to stand up and say, I want a sophocracy, the new word we just created. I want leadership by the best of our men, the way the Bible teaches, the way the founding fathers. I want the best guys to lead this show. When are they going to say that? How much more pain do we have to see? How many more children need to die? How many more old people die alone in hospitals because of these loudmouth pieces of shit in Washington trying to tell us we have a pandemic? They're dying in hospitals alone. Do you want to go that way? No loved ones can see them. Nobody can go in to make sure they're being taken care of properly. I've been in the hospitals. You better have a loved one there to watch what's going on.
Tell me if this shouldn't go as the postscript on whatever goes in the time capsule here. If archaeologists look at this someday and say, these people who were in the greatest empire, the greatest nation that ever existed, were not allowed to protect their own borders, but because someone else had a disease, they weren't allowed out of their house.
Yeah. The stupidity level has reached a point where it's nauseating, Mike.
Yeah, it is. And you wonder, like, okay, are there some brilliant people in government? Yeah, but that's why I wonder anymore if it is stupidity in top leadership. I don't think it is stupidity. I think they've got a really great, devious, evil plan in place to take down this country. Just like the Russian
The governor's conference that they had right before all this came about was probably to make sure all the governors are in lockstep.
Oh, yeah. These are some of the most brilliant people in the world. They're not patriotic. They're traitors. But some of these people that they recruit from these Ivy League schools to put in these positions, they are brilliant. They're really smart, and they know how to plan and roll stuff out. Like, who was it, Khrushchev, the Russian premier, who said, we will crush you. Well, he didn't say they were going to attack us militarily. What have they done?
No.
Look at what Yuri Bezmenov said in his interviews with G. Edward Griffin. He said, we destroyed your country from within. In two
right.
generations, using the school system.
That's right. The school system is an abject failure. It was also Nikita Khrushchev who said, you will fight each other for the privilege of selling us the rope we will use to hang you. That was Nikita Khrushchev as well. And he's right. Look at us. Look at us. We are so materialistic, we can't tell what's up and what's down. We are fighting each other to sell the rope to the communists that they're going to use to hang all of us. That's how stupid we are. That's how uninformed and ignorant and abject retards the American people have become. We are fighting to get a job for digits in a computer to produce stuff for the communists that they're going to use to subjugate all of us to Bolshevik communism. We're actually fighting for the privilege of selling them the tools to enslave all of mankind. That's how stupid and idiotic it has become.
And it would be bad enough if you kept all your paycheck. You'd still be a traitor. You'd still be a nut for doing it. But then you look at your paycheck and they steal half of those electronic digits and give them away to people who hate you so they can outbreed you in your own country and get loans to start companies that you can't get and to get, you know, and to own all the convenience stores and all the mom and pop hardware stores that used to exist, all the sandwich shops, all of the gas stations. I mean, you can't make this up. And I mean, we could go over this on another program, but we should just go topic by topic. Military is the topic we're on right now, right? And I'll close with this. When your government tells you that the most important thing when discussing military is the sexual identity that a soldier identifies with, not whether we're allowed to put the Marines down on our southern border, you know, yeah, your country is doomed. When you're not allowed to use your own military to protect your people or its property, but you're allowed to set up 800 military bases all over the world to help corporations make their profits, something's wrong.
Yeah. Amen. Amen to that. Yeah, we don't want to keep going. We can do it. We can schedule another program or even a special program to go over a lot of this stuff. But it's just people need to wake the hell up. That's the bottom line. People need to wake the hell up. So thanks for calling in, Mike. I appreciate it. And, you know, God bless and keep up the good work. And we'll do it again.
God bless. Thank you, Dan.
Yep. All right, ladies and gentlemen, let's close in prayer. I don't know. I'm so frustrated, I can't stand it. Sleepless nights anymore, this stuff bothers me. Because we are loving and caring, sharing people, folks. That's the nature of a true Israelite. If this stuff didn't bother you, then there's something wrong with you. If you can see what's happening to this world and it doesn't bother you, then I suggest that perhaps you're not an Israelite. You don't have the Spirit of the living God within you. This should be tormenting you to the point of absolute righteous indignation. And I think the fact that we haven't had an open revolution at this point tells me there aren't very many people that have the Spirit of the living God in them. So I guess the words of Christ are true. My flock is a tiny flock. Please, Father Yahweh, I ask right now on behalf of your flock that you would give us a clear direction to a sanctuary, to an area of this world where you want us to congregate as you bring down this Babylonian system, because it is going to come down in flames. I know that. You're going to destroy the wicked because you cannot allow them to go on, because this world cannot survive much more of this stupidity. I know that. But I just am frustrated to know where. And so are the other Israelites, many of them that are on this program, because they've told me that. We are all frustrated, Father Yahweh. So I'm asking today, with my brothers and sisters in agreement, we repent of being part of Babylon. We repent of asking man to rule over man instead of you. We repent of our ancestors who made those asinine decisions so long ago. We repent of all of the ills that we've been a partaker of. We repent of worshiping money and government as if it's a god. And we ask that you would lead those of us that love you, Father, to a place of sanctuary where we can live the way you want mankind to live, with clean air, clean water, self-sufficient homes, growing food that's fit to eat, teaching children the way it was done in the past, teaching and treating adults the way they were done in the past, growing food the way you would have us to do it, raising animals the way you would have us to do it, living our lives for you instead of filthy lucre from the Jew. We repent of all of that. And if you will guide us, Father, we will follow. And we just pray that it would be soon, because this is nauseating, watching this Babylonian system engulf mankind, as ignorant as they are. And we would wish that all of mankind would wake up, but we also realize that's not going to happen. We thank you for this opportunity to share. We thank you for each of the callers that called in and ask a blessing upon their heads and their households. I pray a blessing upon all the men, especially the warriors out there. I also pray the soldiers' ransom upon them, that you would bless them with your spirit to give them good discernment and courage to take a stand against the evil that we see rising up. We pray for forgiveness for our stumblings and fallings. And we ask that you guide us, each and every one of us, each day, by your Holy Spirit, that we think about you on our rising and on our laying our head down at night. We dwell upon you and your law constantly. And we ask very strongly at this time that you would protect those of us, according to Psalm 91, from our enemies as we go forward. We ask all this in Yahweh's precious name. Hallelujah.